We have two items this afternoon. Would you please read 490 and 491 together?
Okay. 490, authorize the rates and charges for water and water-related services during the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2018 to June 30, 2019, and fix an effective date. And 491, revise sewer and stormwater rates, charges, and fees in accordance with the fiscal year 2018-2019 sewer user rate study.
Well, thank you very much. So we're here to hold a hearing on proposed rates. The agenda item states that this ordinance was to be presented by Mayor Wheeler, and some of you are wondering why I'm presenting and not Mayor Wheeler. I want to call to your attention that we adopted a budget this week, and in one of the footnotes, you might have noted that as a further cost-saving measure, we eliminated the position of mayor. And so we decided, who needs five when four can do the job? So we'll be rotating among presidents of the council. Thank you, Mike. The last time I tried humor in front of Mike Jordan, I died on the vine. So thank you, Mike. Thank you for throwing me a lifeline.
Drunk on the power.
So since the mayor is out today, I will introduce both of the utility rate ordinances. A little background. Together, they reflect a combined rate increase of about 4.5%. And to put that in context, the city uses as a baseline inflation rate of about 3.5%. So to those who would like to see annual rate increases be more aligned with the rate of inflation, clearly we've made some progress. This marks the fifth year in a row that we have held increases of below 5%, and I'm very proud of that. We have done so by focusing on core services at each bureau, delivering clean and safe and reliable water at the Portland Water Bureau, replacing aging assets, and investing in cost-effective green infrastructure at the Bureau of Environmental Services. We are grateful to our community oversight bodies, the Portland Utility Board and the Oregon Citizens Utility Board, for their help building budgets that reflect good value at a fair price. This afternoon, we'll start with the Water Bureau and BES presentations. Then we'll hear from the Pub and the Cub, and we'll close with public testimony and council discussion. This is the first reading of an ordinance, so the vote will be held next week. First up is Water Bureau Director Mike Stuhr and Finance Director Cecilia Hume. Their budget reflects two things in particular that I want to highlight. First, the threat of earthquakes and natural hazards like wildfires and a changing climate pose real risks to our drinking water systems. Following the City Council's direction, the Portland Water Bureau will continue to fix old pipes and invest in resiliency projects, the Washington Park Reservoir and Willamette River Crossing, as well as a filtration and corrosion control facility. Second, this budget launches new tools to help our neighbors most in need, building on the Bureau's nationally recognized financial assistance program with new programs to reach renters and expanded services for all of our customers. I guess what we'll do is we'll start with Mike and Cecilia, and then I'll come back and introduce the BES team. Mike, welcome.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm joined at the table by Cecilia Hune, our Finance Director. She's here to keep me from running astray from the presentation. We're glad to be here. The rates and charges that we're going to present support the budget that was recently passed. You can see before you a slide you have seen before that breaks down our requirements and the resources we use to fill them. About 60% of the resources that we'll use in the next year come from monthly charges. Another third comes from bond and capital, and then we have some stray income that comes in through basically BDS, where developers pay us to do various services. We continue to maintain our AAA bond rating. We're one of less than 10 water-only utilities that have this high rating. The advantage of that is it allows us to borrow money as cheaply as possible. The annual cost to operate the water system is about $90 million, and the capital program is used to make improvements in the water system. Less than 20% of our total spending is to pay for annual debt service. In the utility world, that's considered very low leverage. Our water rate not the combined rate between us and BES, but the water rate alone is 8.7%. A year ago, the forecast was 6.7%. A year ago, we didn't know about the filtration plant. Our system development charges have a 9% increase. This is actually a factual calculation based upon the value of the system. As we add new facilities to the system, the SDCs are recalculated, and that's what that represents. Our fees and charges, which we update every year, a few years ago at the behest of developer community who wanted some certainty, we use a fairly elaborate system of calculated averages to make sure we do recover our cost, but a lot of our fees and charges are now fixed so they know what they're dealing with in advance. Assistance programs. Presently, low-income customers receive a discount of $1,805 per month. That's based upon 50% of the state MFI. Right now, we have about 6,600 program participants. In 2019, as you can see on the slide, we intend to expand this program a little bit. The crisis voucher will increase from $150 to $500. We are adjusting the income guidelines. In the past, we have used the state MFI. We have recalculated, and now we're going to be using the Portland MFI. The numbers are a little bit higher, so they become more inclusive.
Tell people what MFI is, please.
Medium family income.
Thank you.
Sorry. We've also added a feature to provide an 80% discount for extremely low-income customers. And then we're adding something to deal with people who are in danger of being evicted. And that's going to be managed through a home forward contract. Moving to the next slide. This lays out kind of the finances. The left column, 3611, is what we're doing today. The middle column is what we is covered in the budget that we just approved. That's a $3.13 increase for a typical residential customer, a $1.56 increase for low-income customers. And the new thing that you see in there wasn't anything in 2017, is the extremely low-income residential customers, $7.85. Medium-sized customer is about a $42 increase, if you imagine what the medium-sized is. For a large commercial customer or a large customer, somebody like Port of Portland, who uses about 14,000 CCF, it's a $5,000 increase a month. Overall, Portland water for residential users is about 1.5 gallons of water for a penny. You'd pay a little less if you lived in Beaverton, and you'd pay a little bit more if you lived in the city of Tigard. Now, where does our rates sit in comparison to other utilities? It's way down low. You can see the green bar there as probably one of the cheapest utilities in anybody's suite of services that they have to buy. How do our water rates compare with our peers? We're right in the middle. We're very proud of that. I think over the last few years, we've very carefully managed our rate increases to get the job done and minimize the impact on our ratepayers.
Mike, hold that slide for a sec, if you
sure.
will. The other day, I was doing some sign waving on one of the bridges before the election, and a young man on a bicycle came by and yelled out a marvelous insult at me about his water bill. And it reminded me that that we often have to remind people that, first of all, we do have we now offer people monthly billing. So if they'd rather get a monthly bill rather than a quarterly bill, they have that option. And that allows for some people to better budget their costs. And frankly, the sticker shock is a little different between a quarterly bill and a monthly bill. Second, you can sign up for electronic bills, which we would encourage people to do. And the third is that the bill that people get in the mail is actually a combined water, sewer, stormwater bill. And that gets lost in the discussion. And some people have actually gone to great lengths to confuse the public about that. But the bottom line is water is about a third of the bill, and the rest is sewer stormwater. And I think it's worth coming back to these kinds of slides, not because we don't acknowledge we can do better in trying to keep rates down, but to provide some context and to say, okay, if you lived in another city or another part of our region, what would you pay for water? And I think it's important to have that context.
Thanks, sir. Next slide, rate forecast. This year is 8.7%. And we are predicting in the next few years, as you can see, 7.4% rates through 22-23. How do our SDCs compare? We're on the low end with our peers in the area for water, and we're probably, I think, the lowest of the city's SDC charges also. That concludes my presentation, and we'll wait for questions until BES is done, I guess.
Thank you very much. Next up is Bureau of Environmental Services Director Mike Jordan and Finance Director Jonas Beery. The Bureau of Environmental Services continues on a path toward long-term financial sustainability, confirmed by its recent ratings upgrade from Moody's Investors Service. The mayor's proposed rate for BES will allow the Bureau to achieve the highest priorities in the Bureau's new 10-year strategic plan, including replacing aging assets, investing in cost-effective green infrastructure, and promoting equity in its operations. And BES remains on track to maintain rate increases below the rate of inflation well into the future. Mike and Jonas, welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner, members of the Council. It's nice to be here today. Thanks for the opportunity to give a brief overview of the sewer stormwater rates and charges for fiscal 18-19. With me today is Jonas Beery, the Business Services Manager for the Bureau, who will handle kind of the meat of the presentation. And, of course, if you have any difficult questions, Jonas will answer those too. But first, my job here is to give just a little bit of context. The next couple of slides will probably look familiar. They're from the presentation we made a little while back regarding our overall budget. Just to refamiliarize you, remind you that our budget is actually what drives these rates that are in this ordinance today. And so just to reorient everybody, this slide, our underlying priorities, we're really here for reliable service. We're always open 24/7. We are also looking towards, as the Commissioner mentioned, getting to an operational and financial sustainability over the long term. And we know that a lot of that will depend on how we approach our infrastructure from a maintenance and capital investment perspective. The next slide just reminds us all that we've started this budget with just some structural changes. The underlying expectation is that we will continue existing service levels and improve them if we can. We've reorganized the budget for the first time this year to align as best we can with our strategic plan, and you can see the categories of how we've organized our expenditures. As I mentioned, the capital improvement program and delivering on that is one of our major pushes in the budget these days. And then lastly, as the Commissioner mentioned, we plan to keep our rates at 3% or lower. I'll remind you of the three things I asked you to remember when I made the budget presentation: 10 years to financial and physical sustainability for the system, organize around our six strategic goals, and that we will keep at 3% or lower rate increases. Again, just to remind, this is our overall budget for the coming year, $536.4 million. The really important part of this is that over two-thirds of our budget is oriented towards capital investment. Either we're paying for capital investment we've already made, we are making capital investments in the current year, or we're setting money aside for future capital investments. And then this slide you have not seen before. This leads you into the rate making. This is where our money comes from. It's worth noting that there is no general fund money in this budget. It is entirely rate and fee based. And as you can see, the majority of those come from the charges for sanitary sewer service, under a third, but almost a third for stormwater services, 10% system development charges, 6% other fees, mostly plan review and land use review fees, and then a very small amount still for Portland Harbor. And we continue to work on that project. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jonas to talk about the rates.
Great, thanks. And I'll get through the next five slides as quickly as we can here to get to our citizen oversight bodies. So as has been mentioned, our rate increase in the ordinance for this year, impact of 2.35% for the average single-family residential bill. That's an increase of about $1.70 per month. I want to take a minute to talk about this slide. What you don't see here is if you extended this a few years back further in time, fiscal 18-19 is the ninth consecutive year that BES has proposed a rate of increase lower than the year prior. So that's a pretty good and unique trend among utilities. You may recall that when we presented to you recently and beginning in last year's rate discussion, we proposed a flat rate increase profile of 3% or less every year. The Bureau's requested budget did propose a rate of 3% initially, or anticipate a rate of 3%, using cash balance rate stabilization fund to mitigate and manage into that 3% flat strategy. The CBO recommendation suggested looking at multiple options, different options to utilize cash balance now to reduce the rate of increase in fiscal 18-19. We did look at a wide variety of options, presented a number of those options to the Portland Utility Board, ultimately agreed that it was feasible to accommodate using some cash in 18-19, which led to the rate of increase of 2.35, lower than the 3% initially proposed. The trade-off, which I want to take a minute and make sure we highlight, is if you look in year 2023, that 3% rate jumps up to 3.10. And that 3.10, if you carry this out to the far right-hand side, would continue out into the future. So the trade-off in using some of that cash today is less cash is available in the future. Under the current projections, that means those rate increases are above our 3% maximum target. We felt like in this year, in this circumstance, that was an accommodable risk, so to speak, to take, that we feel like we can manage over the next few years into getting that long-term rate back into 3%, but wanted to identify that is the trade-off for using cash today and is a bit of a challenge for the Bureau and for future councils, but one that we believe we can accommodate. How do we compare to peers? Much like water, we're just about in the middle and just about average among at least these comparative cities listed here. I will note that our rate of increase and our projected rates of increase are on the lower end of this list, and particularly if you look at the entities that are lower than us, they tend to be on a trend of higher rate increases. So we do expect over time, if we stay our course, we will continue to compare more favorably. Like water, we also have the same assistance programs. The assistance programs that are eligible, that water customers are eligible for, are the same assistance programs that are applicable to sewer and stormwater bill. I won't go over these again, other than just acknowledging that those assistance programs, the expansions to those assistance programs, impact our Bureau as well and certainly support those expansions. We also have a separate discount program, Clean River Rewards, which provides a discount to properties that manage on-site stormwater, and that program continues to provide discounts for over 35,000 or approximately 35,000 participating account holders. As is the case for the Water Bureau, we also have system development charges. Reminder that for BES, like for water, those are on a reimbursement basis. We collect those to pay for infrastructure that we've already built to accommodate development and growth. They're not a fixed SDCs for BES are not a fixed amount. It's a little bit of a variable formula based on the conditions of the development. But generally for this year, the range of increase is around 2-7%. We've provided a couple examples here. Those are lower than the rates of increase last year and on the low end of the range that we anticipated for 18-19. Lastly, we have a large number of building plan review fees, land use review fees. If you look at the exhibit to the ordinance, you'll see all of those listed specifically. Predominantly, those are on a cost recovery basis, about a 75% cost recovery target. So the increases you see to those fees are generally going to be due to changes in things like COLA and general fund overhead that then flow into the cost recovery formula. The closing slide, lastly, this simply summarizes, as you've seen in the past, the combined bill impact of both BES and the Portland Water Bureau. A combined increase is about 4.5%, which is a monthly impact to the typical single-family residential rate holder of about $5 per month. And that is where our presentations end. I believe we will now hand off to our community partners.
Well, before we do that, I want to see if my colleagues have any questions while you're up here. And I do have one question, but I'll first turn to my colleagues.
Mr. Friends? About Portland Harbor. And are we anticipating that at some point there'll be a need for more resources to actually clean up the harbor?
On advice of counsel, I'm kidding.
I was actually going to give you permission to not answer that question if we're not supposed to.
I think it's practical to assume that as we move into design and the actual implementation of the remediations, there will be an increase in the costs. What we don't know yet is how those costs will be allocated among all of the different potentially responsible parties, of which the city is one. And then within the city, there's an allocation of those among bureaus also, because different bureaus have different, let's say, impacts on the harbor. And so while we would anticipate costs to increase over the long term, over the next 30 years, it is very difficult to predict exactly where those costs will land.
So when you're predicting a 3% or a 3.1%, that doesn't include any additional costs of the harbor cleanup for BES?
Not specifically. As you know, we fund most of our capital program now with debt. And so we anticipate issuing debt over the long term about every other year. And as those costs become more of a reality, at least for BES, we believe we'll be able to manage those within the capital profile that we have now and not have significant rate impacts. I won't say no rate impact, but we think we can manage those over the long term using the debt profile that we have.
Thank you.
Yep.
You know, it's an interesting question because we not long ago met with the EPA directors, commissioner, I guess that's his title, that. Well, Mr. Pruitt's administrator's right-hand man, right-hand person that he had designated to do Superfund oversight, Mr. Albert Kelly from Oklahoma. And Mr. Kelly just recently resigned his office. So we're now waiting to find out who is the new point person in the administrator's office, assuming he continues in office. And one of the encouraging things, Commissioner Fritz, that we learned, one of the few encouraging things we learned under this EPA administrator, is that they did intend to move forward with the existing Superfund plans. So we were getting some support. Now Mr. Kelly is out, so that creates a little bit of a cloud. The other thing I'll share with you is that this very issue about our ability to include a charge for Superfund was litigated in the Anderson lawsuit, and the judge did bless the arrangement. And because legal counsel has cautioned us about being too specific about potential liability, because we don't want to pick up other people's tab, we want to make sure that polluters pay their fair share, we've been reluctant to quantify the potential. But we'd have a couple of sources to pay for things, and one of them was, I think it was under either Hales or Adams, I forget which one, there was a ongoing appropriation that was set aside for Superfund cleanup, which can be bonded. So we have a couple of tools. And then Judge Bushong made clear that when the dust settles on Superfund, we have to do an accounting to make sure that it was all allocated proportionate to people's exposure. So whatever fire was responsible for, BES and others, we have to do an accounting and then make sure the dollars that were expended track people's liability.
And even though we settled Anderson without any agreements on whether they were right or not, that obviously is the right approach that right. You or any subsequent commissioner in charge would follow.
Right. And actually, you know, my recollection is that was the big claim in Anderson. You know, could we legally defend this charge, and did the utilities have a potential liability? That was also an underlying issue in the water district fight. I think Superfund has cast a big shadow over both. I have one question I wanted to ask Cecilia, and that is because we are tapping the rate stabilization fund to bring the BES rate down a little bit, could you remind us what is the rate stabilization fund and what is its purpose?
So the purpose of the rate stabilization fund is to keep rates stabilized, to help smooth rates over long period of times. And it could also be used as a rainy day fund.
And what, other than having money to stabilize rates so that we don't see the fluctuations, what additional benefits does the city get in terms of its financial profile for having a rate stabilization fund?
It's definitely an attribute that the credit agencies look at to be very favorable to have a rate stabilization account. It provides for stability in rates, and that's definitely provides a positive credit rating.
So as part of our presentation to the credit ratings, we acknowledge we have this fund, and I think it is worth noting that, as you said in your presentation, BES got an upgrade of its rating, which means we'll be able to borrow money on more favorable terms, which is good for ratepayers. And the Water Bureau continues to have the highest possible rating of any water utility in the country. So we're very proud of both of those accomplishments. Okay, so thank you very much. Stick around if we have any questions from the public or from our oversight bodies. We now have an invited panel made up of the co-chairs of the Portland Utility Board, Colleen Johnson and Alan Warman, and Janice Thompson, who is with the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. We'll have you all up together, but we'll start with the pub. Alan, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Alan Warman, co-chair of the Portland Utility Board.
Okay. Now no one knows who I am. The pub serves as a citizens-based advisory board for both bureaus, both the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Water Bureau. Utility bureaus make up half of the city's spending, and the pub was created to provide a year-round oversight and recommendations to this council. The board has spent the past 7 months working with the bureaus to review their five-year financial plan, rate forecasts, capital plans, operating budgets, decision packages, and the CBO analysis of the budget. Through this budget process, PUB encouraged both bureaus to be mindful of the request and make strategic choices about the core mission, and also keep the financial impacts focused on the customer as a priority. The budgets that you approved yesterday include a substantial amount of the items that were requested by both bureaus. Specifically, PUB supported 15 out of the 22 positions requested by BES and 12 of the 21 requests by the Portland Water Bureau. Where the PUB had concern, those concerns generally related to the capacity of both bureaus to absorb the number of staff being requested and deliver the ambitious capital programs envisioned. And, of course, we had concerns about affordability. While the board sees encouraging changes in the process and the transparency efforts of both bureaus, we remain concerned about the long-term cost projections for the Portland customers. Current rate of increases in the proposed ordinance are 8.7 for the Water Bureau, 2.35 for BES, for a combined rate of 4.46. Concerns. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Colleen Johnson. I'm the co-chair of PUB. I should have aside Alan. So we normally talk about the monthly bill impact for customers, but more than 85% of Portland customers pay quarterly. At the current forecasted rates of increase for the next 5 years, typical Portland single-family residential customers are facing a $405 quarterly bill by 2023. We thank you for recognizing the needs for investment in both systems and that those needs must be balanced with concerns of affordability. If the combined utility bill increases 5% per year, utility rates will double in less than 15 years. Just as a point of information, at PUB's request, the bureaus did a cost comparison of the combined utility rates across 18 cities. That information was presented to PUB at our last meeting. In closing, we want to thank both directors and their staff for their support. We also would like to thank Commissioner Fish for his leadership of the bureaus and his support of the PUB. Having both utility bureaus under the management of one commissioner was a recommendation of the Blue Ribbon Commission and facilitates conversations about the combined impact of new policies and offers an opportunity for holistic thinking about efficient delivery of utility services. The Council created PUB to provide citizen oversight of the utility bureaus, and we appreciate the opportunity to provide feedback at this point in the budget process. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I recognize our other partner, I have two quick questions for you. And you alluded to it in your prepared testimony, but it's something that we ask you every year just so we're taking the temperature of the relationship. Did you feel in this prior year that you got both the staff support that you needed and the information that you requested from the bureaus in order for you to adequately perform your oversight function?
Yeah, I would say yes. I think since the PUB was created, every year has been a better relationship. And, you know, when you get oversight committees and new requests for information here and there, the natural opportunity is to resist it. And I think we've gone beyond resisting. We've gone to a partnership.
I agree.
Okay, very encouraging because we are very committed to making sure you have those resources and support and so that you can do your job independent of the bureaus. And the second thing I just want to observe for the benefit of my colleagues and the public is there's been some interest in what's the next chapter of filtration. Council made a decision, a 100-year bet on the Bull Run watershed to invest in a filtration plant. But as we all know, the question before the council was which option and would we enter into a regulatory agreement. The decision of what kind of filtration, the technology, the cost, those details were left to be worked out in consultation with our oversight bodies. My understanding is the Bureau will be coming back to you this summer with some initial presentations to get your feedback. And we look forward to hearing from you around that. And it would be my intention, after you've had some preliminary briefings, maybe even schedule a work session to talk about the various options and bring the council along in that decision. Because obviously the reason now that we talk about a potential filtration plant with a wide range of cost options is we haven't settled on what it is and what the technology is, and we'll be looking for your guidance in making that decision.
Thanks.
Thank you both. And now we welcome...
Commissioner, can I just ask a question? I was interested to... You said 85% are still doing quarterly billing. Is that correct?
That's our information, yes.
Do you have any suggestions on how we can get more people to go to the monthly billing?
Well, I would assume that the bureaus have advertised that. I mean, I think that's a good question, and I think that's a question that PUB could easily take up and work with the bureaus on ways to... try and get more people with monthly bills.
Well, in the brief three-week period between this year's budget and starting next week's, or over the summer, that would be something that I'd be very interested in hearing, in having your opinion on. Because clearly, when you talk about a $400 bill, that's a lot.
Yes.
$125 or $130 is still a lot on a monthly basis, but it's... But
more manageable, I agree.
Yes. So I would just encourage us to, and Commissioner Fish, I appreciate this having happened under your watch, that now there is this capacity to do the monthly billing.
Mayor Hales believed that the more people we got onto monthly billing, and the more people were focused on the actual cost, like and the way they pay other utilities, the more we kind of hit reset in terms of allowing people to compare the cost. I mean, I have a son that uses a lot of... internet capacity and Wi-Fi stuff and other things. And I get my Comcast bill, it's rather frightening. If if I paid my Comcast bill quarterly, I think I'd be in a state of perpetual shock. And the other advantage, Commissioner Fritz knows, of getting people to monthly billing is to the extent we also get them on e-bills, it gives us a low-cost and convenient way of providing further information to our customers, potential discounts, service interruptions, those kinds of things, in an inexpensive way.
Yeah, and what I've noticed is that it allows me to monitor my water use a lot more clearly as well. You know, difference between winter and summer, yeah, that's obvious. But then between January and February, well, what am I doing differently between January and February? And so I think that that's something that I'm very interested in encouraging, because I would have thought it would be 50% or better by now that people would have switched. So let's see what we can do to get them to going.
Okay, thank you. We'll do.
Is everybody finished? I have to leave. I'm double booked, so my apology for hopping up, and Janice, same to you. Thank you.
Good. Thanks
very
much.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for all your work.
So Janice Thompson, Citizens Utility Board of Oregon, and are we still the only public utility that you provide oversight over?
That's correct.
Well, we're very pleased to be the first, and we hope not the last. Welcome.
It's still off, Janice. When we get the green light.
Oh, got it.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. So you have two memos, one for the Water Bureau, one for BES. Two initial comments kind of related to questions that came up. In terms of process, I want to highlight that both bureaus provided information hair earlier in the process, which is helpful. As you know, I have kind of a phase one memo approach that's input directed to the bureaus and the commissioner in charge during the development phase of the budget, and then kind of a phase two that's more directed to the mayor, and then this is kind of the wrap-up memo. But that the effectiveness of that phase one memo is increased when more information is provided earlier, and so that continues to be a trend. And particularly with BES, like there was a mention of kind of aligning more with the strategic plan. And so I think the just the format of the information from BES is also going to continue to be improving and more helpful over time. The one caveat is the earlier the information comes, the more likely that there will be, you know, adjustments along the way. So I appreciate it, but also recognize that the earlier the figures are, the less they are cast in stone. On this whole monthly versus quarterly issue, CUB has long advocated for outreach on the monthly billing option. But I will note, it's interesting to me to see also the relatively small percentage of people who opt for that, and that's been pretty consistent over time. So on one hand, that needs to be pushed. On the other hand, the fact that, you know, people, when the option was first presented and there was a push of publicity, people didn't flood to it, is an indication that, though people will complain, hopefully not in an insulting fashion, as it sounds like you experienced on the bridge, but there are people who, you know, who can afford it, which is not to say that cost and cost containment shouldn't be a high priority, but I think it reflects the need to really think about one, the low income program, because there are folks who can't afford it, but two, that the cost discussion has to be linked with, you know, value for the money. So a couple of just overall comments related to both bureaus kind of triggered by your questions. So now turning to the Water Bureau memo, two points. I'm just going to kind of walk through it really briefly. Two points on page one that were important improvements in the final budget. One is, finally, I'm going to be able to stop including in my memos a call for moving the Kayenta building staff that had been housed in the Revenue Bureau to the Water Bureau.
The record will reflect that Dee White in the back has her thumb up, too. And this is one we all agree on. It took a long time. Thank you for highlighting it. And I want to compliment Bureau staff for their persistence in making that happen.
Right. I mean, it just was never, I mean, I first heard about it. It just seemed kind of like, what? You've got this billing system that you don't, you know, can't make optimal use of. So I was happy to be a little persistent voice on bringing this, and thanks to the many players who worked to make this improvement. The second item is, you know, full funding of the Low Income Assistance Expansion Program. The Water Bureau did a council work session in February that seemed really positive, feedback from the members of the council that were participated in the March budget session. So it was a little surprise when the mayor's budget did not come out with this, and so I'm really pleased that between the issuance of the first round of the mayor's budget to what was adopted yesterday, that this step has been taken. At the very bottom of the page, I do want to highlight one important element that I saw in the Water Bureau's requested budget that was definitely retained, is that proactively the Water Bureau identified several CIP projects that they had included in their last year's five-year plan. And, you know, though these are likely to come back, I think I want to just really highlight that the proactive nature of the Water Bureau taking a look and, like, well, let's reassess some of these previous capital improvement project priorities is commendable, and it's, you know, in any environment, but it's particularly since the budget impacts. The second full paragraph on page 2 just highlights a few other things that, you know, the Bureau and I kind of went through, and I just wanted to highlight in this environment where the filtration plant is increasing rates that they're definitely looking at cost-saving opportunities. The rest of page 2 kind of zeroes in on the filtration plant decision, the rate increases, and even though it's important that the Water Bureau look for these opportunities to, you know, potentially rejigger priorities, at the same time, last summer, the council by no means said, oh, figure out, you know, cut your budget to cover all the filtration costs, and I think that's very prudent and deserves highlighting. The bottom of page 2, the unidirectional flushing discussion, that continues to be, last year it was an unfunded request, this year it was kind of an underfunded request. It's linked to the corrosion, effective corrosion control implementation and the, you know, kind of preparing for the filtration plant. So yes, even with what the Water Bureau had fully requested, I think they anticipated use of temporary personnel. It seems with the underfunding what the request was in the mayor's budget, that's likely to be more the case. And in general, it just seems like this is an issue that may well come back, and maybe the Bureau needs to be doing a better job of kind of conveying this issue. But when something just keeps coming back, I think there needs to be some thinking like, well, what's the balance between, kind of budget concerns and listening to your hired experts in this arena. Communications was an unfunded request, and I just highlight there that, I mean, I think probably this is true of probably many bureaus, that communications bureaus are told do more, but it's, you know, it's a harder thing to justify amongst the priorities. So I'm just kind of highlighting that. Little note there on the decorative fountains. The very bottom of page 3, in terms of like beyond this fiscal year, you know, I think I see signs that the Bureau will continue to kind of closely monitor its own CIP projects and project priorities. CUB has always had a particular emphasis on taking a look at CIP projects in their first year or even in that year before, you know, they're in the plan, because that's the time to, you know, evaluate, the best time to evaluate the scope. Once a project is in its fourth year or fifth year, you know, you've spent so much money, it's becomes kind of moot. And so the Bureau has been very helpful in that regard. And I'll also highlight the filtration planning, monitoring with the, as I recall, the resolution, including the need for an annual report. So that's the comments on the Water Bureau. Should I just continue?
Yes, I will. I just will say one thing, Janice. In many of our focus groups or conversations with ratepayers, what we have consistently heard back is that they want good value for their investment. Mm-hmm. We sometimes, you know, focus exclusively on cost and price, but our ratepayers tell us they focus on value. Mm-hmm. And so it is incumbent on us to explain what we believe the values proposition is. And I think the more people that we get on electric billing, e-billing, the easier it will be to, mm-hmm. to give them regular updates and provide context and other things, allow them to monitor the usage and other benefits of being connected electronically. So thank you for that.
On the BS side, I want to highlight two concerns about the mayor's budget. One was a little more than $400 was increased in the payment from BS to PBOT for street sweeping, and it was just a very troubling process without timely or adequately robust conversations. I did send a May 10th memo that I kind of summarized briefly. That memo did include some ideas for future solutions, including the possibility of a budget note, and that did occur yesterday, so appreciate your vote on that.
We do have the budget note. It's the so-called street sweeping budget note. It was drafted in part based on your input. And when we get the information, we will review that information
yes.
with both of you. So thank you.
There's been mention of the use of the rate stabilization fund to drop what BS originally projected at 3% to a 2.35. And I think what happened using that is this is not a scenario that was like the end of the world, but I both at the work session and today, I really want to provide a cautionary note about that. On page 2, I have a chart that kind of, you know, summarizes the differences. And, you know, part of the reason it's not the end of the world is that the differences aren't that significant. Nevertheless, you know, you heard Mike Jordan say that pretty consistently he's been able to say that we think we're on this 3% trajectory. That 3% trajectory is now 3.1. Is that like an astronomically huge difference? No, but it's because of these short, kind of short-term decisions. I think that is linked to this being the year that the Water Bureau rate kind of took its jump up. To the 8.7. I mean, the Water Bureau rate's going to kind of level off at 7.4. I mean, it was interesting to me, Commissioner Fish, that when you directed your question about use of the rate stabilization fund and more information about the rate stabilization fund, it was BS who did it, but you directed the question to the Water Bureau. I mean, both bureaus have funds, but I think this raises the question of, like, how much tinkering cross bureaus do you want to do with this?
By the way, I asked Cecilia because she's the last person that gave me a little primer on the Rate Stabilization Fund. So I went with the person who had helped me get up to speed. And I just want to say on the record, your cautionary flag about the use of the Rate Stabilization Fund resonates very strongly with me as the commissioner in charge. And I view this as a one-year episode, which mm-hmm. I would not encourage we do again. Mm-hmm. There is a reason to have a Rate Stabilization Fund that's robust. I think there was a rationale for using it this year. I think it would be bad practice to make it a regular episode.
I would agree.
And I would just like to comment on that. That's mm-hmm. a reason to not have the utilities both under the same commissioner.
I'm sorry, say that again.
If the utilities were not under the same commissioner, there might be more tension in whose fund is going to be used. I agree that it's been fabulous that the work that you've done, Commissioner Fish, and in this instance with this new filtration plant requirement, it's an exceptional year, but I agree with you that we should be looking at it in the future.
Good.
But the reason it's important to really be cautious about this is, and, you know, this goes back to the, you know, the Portland Utility Reform Blue Ribbon Commission, which was obviously created in a time when there was lots of concern about city council budget decisions that were increasing rates. But there was a discussion by that group that oversight groups also need to look at inappropriate political pressures to lower rates. And that might seem odd, but, you know, there is an opportunity, you know, this... I think this, even though there's this commitment to one-time use, I mean, it kind of highlights the way in which, well, let's do it for 2 years, and then that year when you see the boost is in the sixth and seventh year between the five-year plan you're seeing. So, I mean, and there's a national trend. I mean, in national conversations about, municipal utility rates, water rates, and sewer rates going up, very, very frequently, those rate increases are linked to a history of elected officials not spending enough money on infrastructure, being resistant to raising rates for political reasons. So, you know, it's odd. It may seem odd, but this... There's some downsides here, so that's the discussion. On page three, in the middle of the page three, there's a brief discussion about kind of the staffing additions. BES had requested 22. CUB agreed with CBO support for only 19. The mayor's budget trimmed it down to 18. The unfunded position related to data, and I think I want to just highlight that the Bureau has been really focused, I think, very wisely on, kind of really evaluating just all the data that comes in, data gaps, and if I had to guess, this is a position request that's going to come back. The bottom of page three, again, thinking beyond this year, in terms of staffing, I mean, it is a concern that those projections for the remaining 4 years of the five-year plan continue to be based on around 20 positions being added each of those years. Now, we really understand how carefully the BS and water as well evaluates their staffing needs, and by no means do I think that, you know, financial projections automatically translate into staffing requests. Many of these staffing, anticipated staffing requests, however, are CIP related. One thing that I've really appreciated getting briefings on is the CIP prep project. So, I mean, the hope is that effort will result in efficiencies that can lower future staffing needs. And so it just is one of a future topic that I'll be monitoring in particular. At the bottom of page three, kind of highlight four anticipated challenges identified by the bureaus in terms of just, you know, long-term risk. We've been monitoring these, and again, you know, the willingness of BES staff to answer questions and provide briefings is greatly appreciated. The top of page 4, however, I do highlight that something that may be coming up down the line as a future risk in financial forecasting is seismic resiliency. BES has launched, you know, a whole seismic resiliency planning, and as the results of that planning come down, this might become a future issue. One of those 4 relates to green infrastructure operations and maintenance costs. Something that has, again, been a pretty consistent theme is CUB's recognition of the importance of the stormwater system planning. And I think these ideas are intertwined. Just as this is the stormwater system planning efforts continue and kind of just deepen the information that the Bureau has about stormwater management needs and costs, it'll just help improve the ability to predict those green infrastructure operation and maintenance costs. Something else that I've been highlighting for a couple years now is the need to update cost allocation and rate methodology studies. But there's been an interesting tension. This has been something that the Bureau, I keep bringing up, and the Bureau's in contact with me. And it's kind of related again to the stormwater system planning. It's like you want to do those, update those reports when you're in a kind of a sweet spot with having adequate, helpful information from the stormwater system, because it's probably especially in the stormwater arena where there's going to be new thinking about, like, well, what are our costs? How should we assessing, you know, be figuring out rates for on the stormwater side? But even though I've been mentioning it, it really has not seemed timely. I want to highlight that I think in the next, you know, in as the Bureau plans, and I think they're in agreement with this, as they plan for the next budget, I think it's time to put this in. And that will be interesting process. It's a multi-year process. Those reports will be interesting in and of themselves. But I will note that they'll hopefully also be helpful in terms of discussion that's needed about either retaining and or reforming the Clean River Rewards Program. So lots of things kind of getting tied in there. And then a final note related to the Tryon Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant that is owned and operated by BES, but it serves both Lake Oswego and Portland customers. And there's a current design process underway related to plant reliability improvements, but fairly recently a new design idea was floated from the Lake Oswego side. And it's worth taking a look at, and it needs more analysis, but I just wanted to highlight that this is something we're kind of monitoring particularly, and it could be an important thing for you guys to be aware of, because it's important that the interests of Portland and its customers are not inappropriately affected by interest in Lake Oswego. And kind of one interesting angle is that this potential new option has a smaller footprint, which means it opens up some development opportunities down in Lake Oswego. So there could be some interesting pressures, or not pressures, interesting dynamics behind some Lake Oswego interest in this approach, and we just need to be on guard to make sure those interests don't harm Portland. So that's it.
And we are going to be very vigilant on that question, as you suggested. Colleagues, questions for our citizen oversight representatives?
Could I just make one quick comment?
Please.
With respect to the rate stabilization fund, both CBO and PUB did encourage BES to look at the rate stabilization fund and consider using some of it to keep those rates down this year, mainly because it was building quite quickly and they had a rather substantial balance. I wonder if it might be of benefit to get the various people around the table and really have a conversation about the rate stabilization fund, its use, what's too high, what's not high enough, so that there's a more coherent and sort of consensus on what that what the appropriate usage is.
I think that's a good suggestion. Thank you very much.
More discussion's fine. I think you need to realize